Fancy listening to Irish Radio Network USA. I want to welcome a friend for many decades, indeed, a very prominent member of the Irish American community who has served, Martin Galvin, first of all, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Adrian. It's always great to be with you as well as to listen to you.
Now, listen, I want to delve a little bit into your own involvement. I think it kicked in somewhere after your first Holy Communion with respect to involvement in Irish issues, Northern Ireland issues, at a time when the Martin Galvin's No Raid was very appealing to a great number of Irish Americans nationally. But also, there were those who felt, particularly those in Ireland, North and South, who felt that perhaps, No Raid, perhaps the Martin Galvins and Irish Americans should kind of stay out of this and mind their own business. Can you bring us back to your first, people like yourself and maybe throw in Frank Dirk and so many others. But what was your first entree into, the affairs of Northern Ireland, which were rapidly going downhill?
Well, Adrian, my initial involvement, I was always interested. My family was always interested in the north of Ireland. We were always concerned, always hoped for the idea of there being a united Ireland. But actually, when I was in college, I went to Ireland and I went to the north of Ireland, and there was a number of experiences. That was in 69, 70, and just things that happened to me. I would be with people my own age, young nationalists, look like me, or have names similar to mine or to friends of mine. They could be named Flannery or Galvin or Ryan or people that I knew. And just if I stood in Belfast or in Derry with people like that, just the attitude that Unionists at that time, the Royal Ulster Constabulary and others, that they had, the way they were treated, the people who couldn't get jobs because they were Catholic, and that made them enemies of the state, so they wouldn't have any chance for or opportunity employment. Their fathers and grandparents had perhaps never had any chance for opportunity for employment. They would be discriminated against. They would be treated as enemies by the state, people that the state wanted rid of. And just going back, I had one particular experience. I just hitchhiked. I got a lift in the south, was going over the border, and the following year after British troops had been brought in, were stopped. British troops stopped us just right going over the border, and the family had this little holy water font, which were very popular at that time. And they started playing with it, laughing at it, laughing at us. I was put against the side of the car. The driver, the father, who would just simply give me a lift, was put against the side of the car, and they let us go, but we got a bit down the road. And the young child in that car started crying, screaming. We had to stop, get out. She became physically ill. And it was just things like that. It just made me feel that if I was living in Ireland, if I was just there, I would be in the same situation. I would have no chance for jobs. Families would have to go through this. And just as an Irish American, as somebody who was connected to this, I wanted to do something about it. And you're right. The British may feel that Irish Americans or people like me or Paul O'Dwyer or Frank Durkin, that we should remain silent, that we had no business helping people in the north of Ireland who were denied their freedom. And meanwhile, it's those British people, the people at Westminster, the people we have a prime minister and currently in Westminster who's just personifies that attitude. That shouldn't be there, that shouldn't be making the decisions for those people in Ireland, that shouldn't be using a system of discrimination to keep British rule going and stop the Irish people from their right to govern themselves in freedom in a state without discrimination, in a state without the problems that the British had caused then, now, and for eight centuries.
Now, let me ask you, and my guest friend is lawyer, Martin Galvin, who is the chairman of the Freedom for All Irish Committee, and an AOH president of the Bronx, one of the largest in the United States. But I want to ask you, Martin, about if we fast forward to the Good Friday Agreement. Now, some of the people you've mentioned, and perhaps yourself, did not rally to the Good Friday Agreement, or the aspects of the Good Friday Agreement, which again pitted you against not only the authorities in Northern Ireland, but there were many here who said, wait a minute, they got an agreement, back off, we don't need you anymore. And obviously with the passage of time and all the conflict there are around the world, there are people who are listening to us today and, you know, who will say, well, you know, the Good Friday Agreement is there. Maybe that would be a good time, you know, to back off and let them, the thems, be, you know, in charge of their own affairs.
Well, Adrian, as you know, one of the reasons there was a Good Friday Agreement, that all of that happened, was because the work that Irish Northern Aid, which I was involved in, the Irish people, working mm-hmm. with people like John Deary, like Paul O'Dwyer, like Frank Durkin, we brought together. American involvement was crucial in getting an Irish presidential candidates forum in 1992, where the issues included a visa for Gerry Adams, something that we had worked for, visas for Sinn Féin that had been denied, censorship by visa denial, where the issues included a special envoy, which became George Mitchell, who was the person, right, the main architect of that agreement from the United States, which brought together people like Bill Clinton to become interested in the Irish situation, which brought together issues like Joe Daugherty, that case, political asylum for those who've been prisoners in Ireland, all of that, which helped the deportees here, people like Gabe McGahey or Matt Morrison and Brian Pearson and others stay here. So America was very much involved in that, but what at that time, people like me, what others were very concerned about, is that would the British keep to the Good Friday Agreement? Some people were saying, we're going to get a referendum that's going to unite Ireland within 5 years. We have no prospect, we have no date for one now. The British, they seem to be denying it. They always say that they are the only ones who can grant such a referendum. They're not going to give it. They've announced no time when they would give it, no matter the fact that many people in the north of Ireland, throughout Ireland, want one. And they are only giving one, not for all 32 counties to vote as one, but for six counties. And even that, they keep withholding it. They keep blocking it. The Assembly is going to get back now after 3 years because of the fact that when representatives of the nationalist community went in there, they were treated, as was said, with disrespect, with discourtesy, with non-cooperation. They were treated as second class, even within that Assembly that they were elected to. That is why that Assembly hasn't met for 3 years, because people led by Martin McGuinness and others walked out recognizing that they were treated with disrespect, that they were not treated as partners in government, that they were treated, stepped on as second class. Now, people like me and others, we were very concerned from the very beginning that without American involvement, without America pushing, without American scrutiny, that agreement, like so many agreements that the British have made so many times with the Irish, that it wouldn't be kept, certainly not in letter, not in spirit, and even now, Boris Johnson's talking about doing away with a specific section of the agreement, which says that people can go to the courts under the Human Rights Act to make sure that there is some justice for those who had family members or friends who were killed by British forces. And one of the first things that Boris Johnson wants to do in his government is to do away with that, just do away with it arbitrarily, just as they've ignored the wishes of the Irish people as a whole about Brexit, just as they've ignored it about so many other things that demand and desire for a referendum. So without American pressure, through a presidential candidates forum, through political action, through some of the congressional hearings that we've had, the British have time and time again not shown good faith, not given justice to people in the north of Ireland. We want to make sure that they can get justice, they can get national freedom peacefully through an agreement. And I don't trust the British to keep their side of that without American pressure any more than they would have formed the agreement in the first place.
What do you think the significance of the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi in particular, and many of the same people, incidentally, who have been around for the decades, the Chuck Schumers, Bob Menendez, and that's only to mention a couple. But what do you think the significance of saying, hey, you know, you don't adhere to the Good Friday Agreement, guess what? We won't have any trade deal either. Did that, in your opinion, and did that put Boris Johnson in the slow lane? Because he was very mouthy right up until that point. And do you think it's a change of attitude?
Well, I don't know if it's a change of attitude. You know, Adrian, as you know, I'm associated with the slogan, as many of us are, with England, get out of Ireland. And that was said to be, there's no need for that. It's carried in the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York. It's one of the banners that can be used. Boris Johnson personifies that. He personifies the attitude that as long as things suit England, he doesn't care about what Scotland thinks. He doesn't care about what the north of Ireland, the north of Ireland, throughout Ireland, all the 26 counties would have been against Brexit from the beginning. Scotland is against it. Boris Johnson just cares about being the Prime Minister at Westminster. He cares about English interests. This was a vehicle for him to become Prime Minister. That's it. Any pressure, American pressure in particular, and I always, in terms of Ireland, we always, one of the first things I learned from people like Paul O'Dwyer and Frank Durkin and others, when it comes to Ireland, we want bipartisan support. So I welcome the support that Democrats have on this issue. Richie Neal and Elliot Engel is crucial. My own congressman in the Bronx, head of the Foreign Affairs Committee, but also people like Peter King and Chris Smith and others on the Republican side. They care about Ireland, all of them. They've worked on Ireland, and we intend to use them and ask for their support on Irish issues to get, just as they've worked for us and supported Irish issues for so long, and everyone is crucial to get freedom for all Ireland.
Well, on my own radio program here, John Deary has been a co-host and for about half of that time. John, when John rolled out the notion that an Irish-American presidential forum would actually result in any of the candidates, showing up, addressing, the Irish issues. We can go back to Jimmy Carter. We can go back to any of the presidents at the time. People said, that's not going to happen, there is an infighting going on in Northern Ireland, and no presidential candidate will touch it with the 40-foot pole. John created, he is the creator of the Irish-American presidential forum.
Adrian, I couldn't agree with you more, and your radio program when you worked with John was a great part of it. But John Deary, to me, is one of the great unsung, to much more than he should be. He shouldn't be unsung, but he's a hero of the Irish community in terms of getting the Good Friday Agreement, in terms of the visa for Gerry Adams, in terms of all of those issues, the special envoy. When no one was talking about a special envoy, John was proposing it. And what he did, and it unsung part of that. It wasn't just that one day there was a forum and Bill Clinton had nothing better to do than to come to that forum and suddenly knew all about these Irish issues and took positions and saw that it was got him great support, saw that he was rewarded in the Irish community and helped him to win the New York primary, saw that it was something he might want to do, and so all of a sudden did all of these appointments and a visa and George Mitchell, et cetera. It was John Deary for years. I can remember going back to well into the 80s where he was appealing to Irish Americans, come up, make your candidates. People used to ask, why don't presidential candidates address Irish issues the way that they do the issues of other countries, whether it be Israel or South Africa or so many others, all of which should be addressed. And John said, it's because we don't do the work. We don't demand that they address our issues. We don't have large crowds at forums where they have to take up our issues and have to address us if they're going to get our votes. I saw John do that for years. Just unbelievable the efforts that he put into doing that. When you talk about 1992 being a great success in terms of Ireland, it was. It's historic. John Deary is the person who gets to be credited with making that history happen, along with others who rallied behind Paul O'Dwyer, Frank Dirk, and everybody, you in the radio show, everybody. I was privileged to be on the panel, along with Ray O'Hanlon and Pat Farley, to ask some of the questions, particularly the visa about Gerry Adams. But that's why we're having a Freedom for All Ireland event on Wednesday at O'Lunny's at 145 West 45th Street from 6 to 9 p.m. And we're going to have John talk to the AOH, the oldest and largest Irish American organization, and people from the Irish community to make an appeal, to do what he had to do so many years, to say if you want the Irish presidential candidates to address Irish issues, you've got to show them that they have to. You've got to show them it's worthwhile. You've got to turn out in large numbers. You've got to talk to them, to their aides, and say you've got to be there. John is going to be speaking at that next Wednesday from 6 to 9 p.m., and we're also going to have Malachy McAllister that you've had on the program a number of times, who's still fighting deportation. Malachy should be one of the issues, the type of issues that was resolved. We talked about Joe Daugherty. It meant justice for some, you know, the deportees in 1992. That ended in justice 5 years later. Malachy McAllister is still fighting for that kind of justice to stay here in the United States where he belongs. So that'll be at O'Lunny's, 145 West 45th Street. John Deary's going to be there. It's going to be a very important night. New York AOH Freedom for All Ireland Committee is holding it. There will be suggested donations taken for Relatives for Justice, one of the great organizations headed by Mark Thompson, which has done so much to get truth and justice for the families of those who lost members killed to the British Army or to collusion. That's this Wednesday, and for phone information, call 201-315-5889, 201-315-5889, or go to O'Lunny's, one of the great places in the Midtown Manhattan on West 45th Street near Grand Central.
And I think history will record, of course, that, O'Lunny is a great place, and his new place in Times Square is incredible. But Hugh O'Lunny has been on board since day one, with his accommodation, with his checkbook, with he and so many others have worked quietly, have worked with you and with the John Deary's and others, at times when it looked like America was now saying, okay, you know, rubbing their hands, saying, okay, next case. We took care of that one. He was one of the great stalwarts as well.
I couldn't agree with you. You know, we're in agreement all the way down the line. Hugh O'Lunny is one of the great Irish gentlemen in every sense of the word. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to him and give us the room, give us the upstairs, give us put food, different things like that to back us up every way he could. When it might not have been profitable for him business-wise, might not have helped him, but Hugh O'Lunny, because he believes in freedom for all Ireland, because he believes in justice for people who were victimized under British rule, will always be there to stand with us. And I couldn't think of a more appropriate place to be next Wednesday to talk about a presidential forum to getting more Americans, to getting American presidential candidates behind justice, behind freedom for all Ireland, that to go to Hugh O'Lunny's and to have a speaker like John Deary talk about what it's necessary for us to do to get behind him and to talk about justice in cases like Malachy McAllister's.
Absolutely. And also, just so we don't throw off some of you know, of those who might be thinking of going to say, but might say, oh my God, I wonder what this is going to cost. This isn't actually, yes, it's a fundraiser for Relatives for Justice, but it's also people who can go there. $25 would you know, will, you know, would be, obviously there are people who can give a lot more, but this is not the primary purpose, but it might be an opportunity also for you and for others who are really experts in the story of Relatives for Justice. You know, many of us have no idea what Relatives for Justice is about, and, you know, who are the leading figures, what are they doing. And again, Relatives for Justice is supported very, very strongly, you know, by you and so many others here. And we've had the leading figure there, of course, Mark Thompson, has been here as well. But it's in addition to John Deary, the Irish-American Presidential Forum, and of course, Malachy McAllister. The Relatives for Justice movement is basically unknown to a large number of Irish Americans. So, yes, I'm delighted, and we all are, that John Deary and Malachy McAllister will be speakers, but also we will learn about Relatives for Justice, and because of the you know, of our time limitation here, just give us, if you wouldn't mind, Martin Galvin, a brief description of Relatives for Justice. Who are they, and why they should warrant support?
Okay, Adrian, Mark Thompson and that group. I'll give you an example of somebody who was an American citizen, lived in the Bronx for many years, a man named Liam Ryan. He went back, lived near Gaelic Park, raised money, borrowed money from Bill Burke, bought a pub back in Ireland. When he went back, he was assassinated. The Royal Ulster Constabulary, British forces, had gone in. They had scouted out the place. They helped the people who killed him. And instead of investigating his murder, they just covered it up. They laughed at the family. That family, the Ballymurphy family, so many others, had no chance for truth, no chance for justice, because the people who should have been investigating, like the people we would think of as the police, were involved in it, helped out, some cases committed the murder. Mark Thompson, no one knew how to get justice, how to fight for it. Mark Thompson, beginning in 1992, helped form Relatives for Justice. They've used British proceedings, like the inquest that's now going on for Ballymurphy, like other court proceedings, like trials, cases, investigating cases like Pat Finucane, and they work with that family and others, to find out the truth, to put British troops who committed murder, members of the Royal Ulster Constabulary, to get the truth out, to comfort those families and get justice for them. That's what Relatives for Justice does. The Ancient Order of Hibernians of Freedom for All Ireland Committee supports them, and this particular fundraiser, it's a suggested donation of $25, as I said. It's open to everybody. You not only hear from people like John Deary and Malachy McAllister, but you have a chance to support a great organization like that to get justice for the people who've been so long denied it in the north of Ireland.
Martin Galvin, thank you, as always, for enlightening many of us, and you have never been known to rest on your laurels, and I think that despite the now promise of the, you know, the reestablishment of the Northern Ireland Assembly, which we welcome, we can't wait to see how that shakes out. Our involvement here should be to keep, you know, the iron to the fire and keep it red, because we've had many times before we've said, oh, well, that's pretty good now. We're almost there. No, we're not almost there. The good news is that peace in Northern Ireland has, indeed, because of the Good Friday Agreement, has done very well. the fragile, the fragile state of that peace has, you know, it's coming to the surface again, and particularly as you point out, Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Again, I couldn't help but when you were mentioning a couple of times about, the British forces getting, at these second-class citizens. You have a Boris Johnson there who's even gone as far as to mock the teacher Prime Minister of Ireland, and suggest... when he was told about Leo Varadkar, first of all, he knew little or nothing of him, and then said, why isn't he called Paddy like the rest of them? That shows us that we're back on the bottom rung of the ladder again, and without Irish-American support, I think that's, it's going to be a sad situation. Let's gather on Wednesday. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Adrian. And again, I'm always very proud of the work I did for Irish Northern Aid, the Irish people, and now for the Ancient Order of Hibernians. And it's always great to be on with you. And as you say, one of the reasons I think why that assembly did not meet for 3 years is because Irish America was not putting the pressure on the British that needs to be there. And now let's do it again, and let's keep that assembly, get behind that assembly, and drive everything forward towards freedom for all Ireland.
It's this Wednesday. It's at O'Lunny's in Times Square, 145 West 45th Street. Again, a suggested donation of $25. Martin Galvin, my guest, chair of the Freedom for All Ireland committee, and also the Bronx County AOH chairman. Thanks, and we'll look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you very much, as always, Adrian.
Good.
Great
you
to be
can
with
show,
you.
You can show up, or if you would like to get more information, that contact number, 201-315-5889. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm sure if you call O'Lunny's, they'll tell you where it is, but it's 201-315-5889. Thank you very much, Adrian.
Thank you. Okay, Martin Galvin, from the listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.